Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Now, I want to make sure that you're there before I actually start reading. I want you to see this. Mark chapter 7. So is everybody there? Okay, good. Beginning in verse 1, let's just read these verses and then go back and do a little dissecting. In fact, I'll tell you what. We're going to actually begin reading in verse 1, but back up to chapter 6, verse 53. This will kind of give you an idea of the setting. It says, "And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem." All right, can you see how they're looking for him? And how that Jesus is over there in this one place and administering to people and all that. Then here come Pharisees and scribes looking for Jesus. And I seriously doubt if it was for prayer for healing. Amen. I seriously doubt if they're trying to touch the hem of his garment. "And when they saw some of his disciples eat with defiled," that is to say, unwashed hands, "they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Well, another one of Jesus' infamous confrontations with the Pharisees, amen, and the scribes. I get a kick out of this, verse 6. "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." Well, Jesus, what do you really think? What's really on your heart, Jesus? Come on, tell us. All right, now back up to verse 1. These guys were looking for him. Scribes and Pharisees, and some of them even came from Jerusalem to find him. And in verse 2 it says, "When they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, unwashing hands, "they found fault." In other words, here they are, they're criticizing. "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders." Now let's talk about this just for a moment. This whole thing of the washing of the hands, we've already read the whole story, you know how Jesus comes on them about this. This whole thing of the washing of the hands, it talks about the traditions. It talks about, you know, the traditions of the elders and so forth. For the Jews, they essentially had, I guess a good way to put this would be, two sets of laws. There was the written law. Now, the written law was, like the Pentateuch, what Moses gave to the people. That's a good way to put it. The written law was what God gave to Moses, that Moses gave to the people. And the capstone of the written law is what we would know as the Ten Commandments. So that was the written law. But then they had this other law that was called the oral law. Okay? Now the oral law is what the scribes, particularly the scribes, they were the ones that really started this whole thing. The scribes, the Pharisees, priests, and all that. It was interpretations of the written law that they mixed in with the written law. Now, the people back in those days, for the most part, were very ignorant. And many of them, and I feel safe to say that most of them did not know how to read. So they're listening to the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, teach. And as the scribes and the Pharisees teach, it would go something like this. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, that's the law, right? Thou shalt not have, you know, any other gods, and so on and so forth. And honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. For if thou should take more than 50 steps on the Sabbath, thou shalt be guilty of breaking the Sabbath. Now, the honor the Sabbath part, was that right? All right, now let me ask you a question. The 50 steps part, was that right or wrong? How do you know? Now, how do you know? How do you know that was wrong? Oh, so you're experts now, huh? but you see what I'm saying? Okay, now, what if you didn't know how to read? So you guys have gone back and you've read this stuff, right? But what if you didn't know how to read? And you hear that. What are you going to think? It's law, right? Well, the oral law, later on, and you may have heard this term, it became known as the Mishnah. Anybody ever heard that term? The Mishnah was the collection of oral law. Not the written law, the oral law. But if you didn't know the difference, you wouldn't know the difference. Now would you? And so, here these guys are. These Pharisees, these scribes and Pharisees, they come and they see the disciples eat with unwashing, defiled hands. And they found fault. And they questioned Jesus about this. And it says in there that, you know, the Pharisees and all the Jews, that they don't eat unless they wash often. Well, here's how this would work. There would be, in a home, or if you had like a banquet and had people come over and you were eating out in the courtyard, but you would have this jar. And this was the special washing water jar. And this jar contained only the water that you would use to wash with. And this, it had to be, you know, covered, and not, so defilement, dirt, you know, stuff wouldn't get into it. The water would stay pure. So what they would do, you had to have somebody there to help you because you couldn't wash yourself, okay? And what they would do is somebody would dip out some water. It didn't have to be, you know, a massive amount, but they would dip out water, and you would hold your hands with the fingertips pointing up. And then they would pour that water, like on the top of your hands, it would run down on your hands. And they had to pour enough so that it would run all the way down the hand and drip off the wrist. And then after they had poured the water on both of your hands, then you would take one hand and make a fist and like scrub the other hand with it. And then, you know, switch and make a fist with the other hand and scrub it. Then what you had to do was turn your hands down, fingertips down, and they'd pour more water on your hand so that it would drip off the fingertips and all this other. Now your hands were clean. Now you could eat. And those who were very extreme on this, they would go through this hand washing process in between each course of the meal. The people that, I mean, just the fanatics, okay? Now, if you didn't do that, then you were considered as eating with defiled hands. Just what we're seeing here in this process, okay? So, they go to Jesus. First off, they see, you know, the disciples eating with unwashing, defiled hands. And in verse 3, it tells us, you know, how that the Pharisees and all the Jews, this is what you do. And then it gives you some more things about, you know, from the market and pots and pans and this kind of stuff. And in verse 5, they asked Jesus, they said, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands?" You know, how can they do that, Jesus? Why do they do that? What is wrong with them? Well, Jesus, you know, he goes into, you know, once again, hypocrites. You know, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Well, now, wait a minute, Jesus. We're trying to stay clean for God. How can you say that our heart is far from you? Are you guys with me? "Howbeit, in vain, in a waste of time, do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God." Do you think these scribes and Pharisees right about now might be getting a little perturbed with Jesus? Let me show you something. Jump to verse 14 real quickly here. "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, 'Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand.'" Now stop right there. You notice here it's not just the disciples that are with him, and it's not just the scribes and the Pharisees. There are other people there as well. All right? So this is the scene that we have. We have disciples eating with dirty hands. We have scribes and Pharisees trying to make things right. We have a lot of other people. We don't know how many, but other people who are there. And then we have Jesus, if you will, on the hot seat. And he says, "Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own traditions." So you can imagine, here are these scribes and Pharisees. They show up on the scene, and as they begin dealing with this unwashing hands thing, the people are hearing this, and in their minds they're thinking, "Yeah, really? Why are the disciples doing this? I mean, anybody knows that you're supposed to fingertips up, fingertips down, then eat. I mean, everybody knows this. So why are they doing that?" That's right. Yeah, I mean, the scribes and Pharisees, they're right. Why are they? And then Jesus starts in on this. "Isaiah prophesied about you hypocrites." And you can imagine the expressions on people's faces. Whoa. Does he know who he's talking to? And then Jesus goes on with this about rejecting the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, now what's Jesus getting ready to do? Quote from the law, the word, what was really given. "For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Now that's the law. That's what was given. Now he's getting ready to throw in what wasn't written. But you say, not, look at it. They knew, the people knew the law came from God, okay? Everybody knew this. And he says, Moses said, well, why did Moses say that? Well, easy, Jesus. God gave it to him. Remember up on the mountain, the whole nine yards? You remember that? Well, that's why Moses said. Moses said, from God, honor your father and mother, etc., and so forth. But you say, in other words, you guys didn't get this from God. Can you see this? But you say, if a man shall say to his mother or father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Okay, what is talking about? Okay, here's part of the honoring your father and your mother. This whole thing of honoring your father and mother, now this is going to throw some people a real curve. It wasn't just, I love you, Mom, I love you, Dad. It wasn't just, don't say bad things, don't smart off, don't mouth off, and all this other. This whole thing of the honoring your mother and your father, it also meant, if your mom and dad are facing extreme hardship, financial hardship, whatever, you're supposed to help them. That's part of what this honoring means. Now, here's how people would get out of it. This is, remember what he said there, but you say? All right, here's the but what you say is all about. They had come up with this teaching, oral law, Mishnah, that said, if you have this pile of money over here, and you make a decision that this pile of money is going to be a gift for God, then you can declare it Korban. Okay? Therefore, even though you've got this pile of money and your mom and dad need help, you can look at them and say, folks, Dad, Mom, I love you. I mean, you know I love you. But all this money, it's Korban. I mean, it's dedicated to God. And there's nothing I can do. And Mom and Dad, you know, they're supposed to accept that. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they go along with it because they're the ones that started it. However, here's the catch. Just because you said it's Korban doesn't mean it actually has to be put in the temple treasury. It can stay in your house. You know how you hear in sports when they trade one player to another, or trade a player from one team to another, and they say, well, Bob Smith was traded to the Yankees in exchange for a player to be named later. You know, I mean, what's that mean? A player, in other words, we don't know who we're going to give you yet, but at some point in time, somewhere down the line, we'll give you a player. You get the picture here? Okay, here's my pile of money. Gosh, Mom and Dad, I'm really sorry you're about to lose your house. I'm really sorry that you don't have any food or anything like that. But, you know, my $1 million here, well, it's Korban. Meaning, it's a gift that I've committed it to God. Now, I don't know when I'm going to give it to Him, but I've committed it to the Lord. In other words, it got you out of obligations. What Jesus was saying was this: hey, you can Korban everything you want, but the law says this is what you're supposed to do. Honor your father and mother, and if you don't, you should die the death. I mean, that's kind of right to the point, is it not? Die the death. How'd he die? He died the death. Hallelujah. And he says, you guys are actually teaching people to break the law by teaching the people your tradition as law. You're telling them that what you say is the law when it's not. Moses said, Moses got it from God. God said through Moses, honor your father and mother. But you say, I mean, man, he was right between the eyes to these people. But you say, in other words, you didn't get this from God. You didn't get any of this from God. Now, look again in this passage. Did Jesus point them back to the law? Did he point them to the Mishnah? No, he didn't. He pointed them to the law. Jesus, in this passage, is drawing a distinction between what God said and what people said God said. Between what was true and what was tradition. But the people didn't know any different. Because if you look in verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, the Pharisees and all the Jews. Well, how did all the Jews get to this place? How did it come to where all the Jews did this? Well, your answer is in verse 13. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered. Who'd you deliver it to? All the Jews. You see this? So now all the Jews have heard this, and it's been delivered to them by whom? The preachers. So they sit in church and they hear these things. They don't know any different. All they know is, well, the preacher said. So, I mean, you know, must be right. And when it talks about the elders in there, it's not talking about like the elder ministry. That it's talking about those who have gone before us. In other words, down through the ages, these are the things that have been taught by the elders. These are the traditions that have been passed down by the elders. Those of old, you know, the forefathers is another way to put that. Now, let me ask you a question. Since Jesus pointed them to the law, and since the law was still in effect, I mean, he was in the process of fulfilling the law, we know that. If the disciples had started to do something that would break the law, okay, not the Mishnah, not the oral law, but the God given to Moses to the people law. If the disciples had started to break the law, do you think Jesus would have just stood by and done nothing? Do you think he would have intervened and said, well, now, hold on, guys, listen. Now, you know, I'm fulfilling the law here, but until I'm finished, you know, you've got to do this. So you fellas better not do that. Okay, look back up here in verse 2. And when they saw some of his, Jesus' disciples, eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashed hands, they found fault. Now, wait a minute. How many of you know that you don't eat anything until you first pick it up? You with me? Who was there with them? Jesus. So if it was truly in the law that you cannot eat with unwashed hands, defiled hands, don't you think Jesus would have said, whoa, hold on there, fellas. What are you doing? Put that bread down. You can't eat that. Your hands are defiled. They're dirty. They're unwashed. You better get over there and wash your hands, because you know what the law says. Have you not read? Did not Moses say? You understand what I'm saying, right? Then it must not have been a part of the law. Right? Since Jesus didn't correct them in this, it must not have been a part of the law. Who did he correct? The scribes and the Pharisees. Why? Because what they were doing wasn't the law. Now, keep in mind, you have Jesus, you have scribes and Pharisees, and you have disciples and people. Jews, right? Now follow this. The Jews, the Pharisees and the scribes, they come down on Jesus. Verse 5. Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? What do they say? Your disciples. Listen now. Why have you misled, mistaught your disciples into doing something that is sin? That's what they're accusing him of in this. Boy, did he have a comeback. Well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. It is written, this people honor the three with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And then he goes on and talks about that Moses said, honor your father and mother, but you say, if it's Corban and so forth, and verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you. Okay, now he's going through this. Now what's he doing in here? These guys, the scribes and the Pharisees, are the ones who have been delivering this stuff to the people, right? People are there listening to this. They're observing this. And as they're observing and as they're listening, here's what they're hearing and here's what they're seeing. Disciples eating with defiled hands. The scribes and the Pharisees, trying to correct this situation. And the people, hearing what the scribes and Pharisees do, say, are thinking, yeah, that's right. But then up steps Jesus. And he says, you hypocrites, you lay aside the commandment of God. You make void the word of God, the commandment, the instructions of God with your traditions. Things like the washing of pots and pans and all this other kind of stuff. Moses said, but you make the word of God of none effect through your tradition. So the people are, you know, They're watching this. They're listening to this. And they're listening to the scribes and the Pharisees. And then they're listening to Jesus. And the scribes and the Pharisees. And then Jesus. And all of a sudden, it clicks. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. You trying to tell us that all these years we've been sitting in church listening to this?
You better wash your hands. Fingertips up, fingertips down. Better wash the pots. Corbin.
Wait a minute. You're telling us this stuff has never been in the law the whole time? Wait a minute. You scribes and Pharisees, if this stuff hasn't been in the law, if God never gave it to Moses to give to the people, where did you get it? Can you see what's happening here? Jesus is exposing these guys for who they are. And he is showing them, the scribes and the Pharisees and the people, he is revealing the fact that these people have heard teaching that did not come from God, but the teaching said, you must do these things or must not do these things to be pleasing and accepting and accepted by the Lord. Pleasing unto and accepted by the Lord. And if you don't listen to us, you can hang it up, fellas. God's going to kick you out. So they have been striving their whole lives, generation after generation after generation, doing things that they honestly thought could produce a stronger relationship with God. And the whole time, what did Jesus say? It was in vain. And so these guys, you can imagine, some 80-year-old grandpa standing by here listening to all this, and he said,
you mean to tell me I've lived my whole life doing this stuff, thinking that it was doing me good in my relationship with God, and it's not? You mean I've been wasting my time and I'm no better off than what I was before?
And he takes his cane and starts whacking the scribes in the face.
Who are you people?
You with me on this? Can you see what's happening here? Now, let's bring it home, shall we? I need some assistance. 1, 2, 3. Right up here. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. Over there. 1, 2, 3. 3. Uh-huh. Right here. Come. Now, you guys read this to yourselves. Here are your instructions. And you are that person right there. Okay? So those are your instructions. And I'll tell you when to start. Okay, now you guys get in a little circle here. Go that way a little bit more. Join hands. Here are your instructions. Okay? Now, start. I don't think anybody can hear you. Okay, can you hear what they're doing? Don't stop. What are they doing? Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Okay, now, you guys know what you're supposed to do. These are my disciples. Okay? These are my disciples. These are the Pharisees. Boo, hiss. And this right here is the chief Pharisee, okay? Okay, now, you guys know what you're supposed to do. Go ahead and do it. Now you turn to me, and what are you supposed to say? Say it loud enough.
Okay. Now, why don't your disciples obey the things they've been taught? Don't they know they can't pray in tongues anytime they want?
Yeah.
That's not in the script.
Yeah.
But have you not read? If a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And again, if a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he edifieth himself. And again, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And again, but ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Therefore, if God wants man to live according to faith, and if God has said that praying in the Holy Spirit enables a man to live according to that faith, would he not want man to pray in tongues as often as possible to accomplish the will of the Father? Are you with me? I'm not finished. Therefore, you make void the Word of God with your traditions, teaching in vain your commandments as the instruction of God. Okay, thank you, Pharisees. Thank you, edified disciples. Can you see this? Can you see how that there are Christians all over the place who are living by a Mishnah? And in vain, they are doing their best to be pleasing to God by doing the things that their Pharisees, scribes, and chief priests have taught them. They think what they're doing is right. When they hear that you cannot pray in tongues any time that you want, when they hear things like that speaking in tongues is not for today, it's of the devil or whatever, when they hear things about, you know, healing and whatever it would be, they honestly believe that what they're doing is the right thing because they've heard it from their teachers. And so day by day, day in and day out, they do their best to live according to the Mishnah that they have read. And the Mishnah of their teachers has been mixed in with the Word of God. Yes, we do not deny that God can do anything. And yes, God can heal. But divine healing is not for today. So what we've done is we've mixed in our oral law with the written law. And we presented it to you as the truth. And then you leave our services doing everything you can to comply with what we've said because you think you're doing the right thing. Now notice what Jesus said about these people when he said, "Well, hath Isaiah prophesied about you? With your lips you worship me, but your heart is far from me." Okay? The modern day example, well hath Isaiah prophesied about our modern scribes, Pharisees, and priests. Their lips say, this is what God wants. But their heart is far from the truth because they have mixed in their oral law with the truth and then presented that as being the thing that's going to cause somebody to mature into the fullness of Christ. So, what's the answer? The answer is this. What's the Word of God? Look in verse 13. Making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. In other words, the Word of God said, let's use this example that we had with the disciples and the Pharisees, using this example. The Word of God says that if you pray in tongues, you're edifying yourself. The Word of God says that if you pray in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. The Word of God says that you're building yourself up on your most holy faith when you pray. That's the Word of God. You see this? But if I teach you otherwise, then what I'm doing is I'm making the Word of God of none effect. The Word of God says, look, these things will happen for you if you do this. But then if you don't do that, the things that the Word says will happen, guys, they never happen. And you end up like that 80-year-old grandfather walking on a cane, and all of a sudden you find out that your whole life, raised in church, born again at the age of 7, your whole life, you've loved the Lord and you've done everything that you were taught to prove your love to Him, to be accepted by Him, to grow and mature spiritually, that all of a sudden you find out that a lot of those things that you were doing never produced one ounce of spiritual maturity. Can you see this? So the key is to know what's in the Word of God. Well, how are you going to know what's in the Word of God? This is the catch 22. You have to be so hungry for truth that you are willing to burn at the stake any teaching that's taken you away from truth. Remember what they burned at the stake? Salem? What they burned at the stake? Witches. What is one form of witchcraft? Heresy. What I'm looking at, what I'm looking for is this. The attempt to control the life of another person. That's a form of witchcraft. If I teach you traditions over the Word of God, do you understand that I'm practicing a form of witchcraft? Because I am attempting to control your life with my Mishnah, and it renders the Word of God of none effect. See, what's happened is this. In the body of Christ, we have learned to accept compromise when it comes to preaching and teaching. We have learned to be willing to accept, well, you know, they believe it their way, we believe it our way. But, you know, we all have Jesus as the center. Okay, we may all be born again, but you know what? He's not the center. Because if He were the center, we would be following in His instructions, not the instructions of man. But what we do is we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and say, hey, these guys, these scribes and these Pharisees, they were telling people, they were trying to point people to God. But what they were actually doing is pointing people to themselves. They were rendering the Word of God of none effect so that they could hold to the traditions of the elders. Can you see the difference? But the people didn't know this. Now, a few moments ago, I asked you a question about what was the law and what wasn't the law. You know, the Sabbath, you know, the Sabbath, keep it holy and walk 50 steps, okay? Well, you guys, man, you knew the difference between, you knew what was and what was not associated with the Sabbath. And I asked the question, how did you know this? It's because you read it. Okay, now, let me ask you another question. Again, let's go back to the example that we had here. If you have read in Scripture that praying in the Holy Ghost builds you up on your most holy faith, and if you've read in Scripture that it edifies you, that you're speaking mysteries, and that in the Spirit you're speaking directly, if you have read this in the Word, what is the problem? Well, it's because we would prefer to exalt the Mishnah of our leaders over the Word that God has given us. Just like God gave to Moses, and Moses gave to the people, think of it like this. God gives to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives to people. But what complicates this whole thing is when you keep people away from the Holy Spirit. See, a Mishnah doesn't turn people away from Jesus. What I'm talking about relative to this message, Mishnah doesn't turn people away from Jesus as being the Lord and Savior. What it does, it adds to and takes away from what He has declared. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That means if I see in the Word of God that by His stripes you were healed, that means by His stripes you were healed. I mean, it doesn't matter what my body is like. It doesn't matter. I mean, the Word, God's Word, the Word is, by His stripes you were healed. The Word says, but you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. That is the Word. The Mishnah says, Father, if it be Thy will, heal Joe. The Mishnah says, you cannot increase if you do not give offerings. The Mishnah doesn't focus on the grace. The Mishnah doesn't focus on the stripes on Jesus' back. The Mishnah acknowledges that God can heal, but the Mishnah does not tell you that He has. Can you see the difference? So what happens is, we as Christians have come to the place, I'm talking body of Christ, to where we have been trained to accept compromise when it comes to the Word. Now, I don't want to break anybody's heart, but you know what? That's not going to work. Because you will live in vain your entire life trying to be pleasing to God. The only thing that's going to cause you to grow spiritually is what you see in the Word. The only thing that's going to cause you to develop your walk in Christ is what you see in the Word. Not a verse that you take out and misteach it. It's the Word, by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So see, the thing is, we have to try and figure out, are we living by a Mishnah? Are you living by a Mishnah?
Not me, Brother Martin.
How do you know?
Because I go to the ABC Church.
Really? And what have they been teaching you lately about praying in the Spirit?
Well, now, we don't get into that. We don't want to seem fanatical. We don't want to drive people away, you know, scare them off. We want to be, you know, a church where everybody feels comfortable, welcome, accepted.
Listen, everybody's accepted in the presence of God. He loves everybody. That's why he sent Jesus. Everybody is accepted. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man. You're part of the family. But it doesn't mean you're growing. What it means is you're part of the family. And then God says, all right, now that you're part of the family, here are the things that I want. Here are the things that I expect. Here are the things that will cause you to develop into the fullness of who you're supposed to be. And they're all in my Word. Now, if you do these things, you get those results. If you will accept my Word, you're going to see the benefits, the promises. All this, it's right there. It's right there. So now, when people stand before the Lord, it's kind of like what he was talking about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about Jesus is the foundation, but you better watch out how you build on that foundation. He's talking about the teaching, the doctrine that's established. I wonder how many people are going to be standing before God and hear, you taught Mishnah. You taught Mishnah. And here's what's going to be even worse, is when folks would be in a service kind of like this one, where they hear some Mishnah exposed, and then turn, they walk out and reject it and keep living by the Mishnah as opposed to the Word. Now, man, that'll get you in some stuff with God. Because when you stand before Him, He not only will look at you and say, you were living by Mishnah, but He's also going to be able to say, but you heard the truth and you rejected it to embrace the traditions of your elders. Why? To be accepted by your fellow scribes, Pharisees, and chief priests. But Brother Martin, my church, it's running 800 people. And, our organization, I mean, this is what we teach over here. If I start teaching this other, man, I could lose my church. Get kicked out of my parsonage. My vehicle, man, I'd lose my vehicle because it's a ministry-provided car. Do you understand, Brother Martin? We would be out on the streets. Wow, I hadn't thought about that. I guess you're right. You better keep preaching Mishnah. After all, that's your source of security. That is what you're trusting to provide for you, is your Mishnah. Why would you want to be a part of something that forces you to teach Mishnah? Why? It's because that is your comfort zone. And you don't want truth. How do you know if you're living by Mishnah? Okay, it goes back to what I've been saying like from day one. Don't just blindly accept whatever you hear me say. Get back into the Word. Pray. Ask God. Get involved with the Holy Spirit. And ask Him to open your eyes to show you if what I'm saying is right or wrong. That's how you do it. But you have to be hungry for truth. If you're not, if you're hungry for Mishnah, truth's not going to do you any good whatsoever. But if you're hungry for truth, not only will you see it, but you'll probably begin to embrace it. When you live by truth, it will produce God's will in your life. If you know truth but don't live by it, it won't produce. If you reject truth in favor of Mishnah, you'll get whatever Mishnah can produce. You'll get clean hands. Hallelujah. Your fingertips will be shiny clean and you'll be able to eat with undefiled hands. But it will not cause you to conform to the image of Christ. In verse 14, Jesus calls these people and says, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man." You wonder why he said that? Would you like to know why he continued on with the pots and the jars? How many of you have a break in between verse 13 and verse 14 in your Bible? Like a new heading? As though it's a change in the thought? It's not a change. He's still talking about the same thing. In fact, what he's doing from verse 14 on, he's dealing with some scribe-Pharisee issues. In other words, let me put it like this. If he was in trouble by verse 13, he really got in trouble when he started in at verse 14. He said, "Well, Brother Martin, what is it?" If you really want to know truth, come back tonight and I will show you exactly what he is talking about in this. And thank God you're not a Pharisee. Hallelujah. In the meantime, truth seekers, stand up.